Our service this evening is going to be quite a short one. I'm not going to be preaching for very long. This is because for a few weeks I want to try a new format of a service where we have a shorter service and a shorter message. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm conscious that some people watch us on YouTube, and I want to try and use this as an opportunity to explain to you, particularly if you are watching on YouTube, I want to try and use this as an opportunity to explain to you who we are as Christians, what we as Christians believe, and especially to explain to you why you should consider becoming a Christian. It may be that you have an interest in these things and somebody has recommended to you that you should watch us. Or it may be that you have some church background and you would like to know more about what it means to be a Christian. And I trust and pray that over the next few weeks, as I do a series of messages which seeks to explain the Christian message, I trust and I pray that these will be a help to you. What I'm doing is taking as a theme the gospel. When you read the Bible speaks about the gospel. This is a word that the Bible uses. It is a word that the Lord Jesus himself used. And the word gospel means good news. That is its actual meaning, good news. And what the Bible says, and what we as Christians say, is that we have good news for this world. This is why we have a service. And this is why we put our messages on YouTube. And this is why when you meet a Christian, that person will seek to talk to you about the Christian faith. It's not because we're trying to engage you into some sort of cult, or some sort of weird religious group. It's not because we're trying to trap you into following some ideas that some men have had. It is really because we have good news for you. And you really should listen to what we are saying. It really is good news. So in this series, I'm going to be asking this very simple question. What is this good news that we are preaching? What is the good news that Christians have for this world? And over a few weeks, I'm going to be taking a statement each week, a very simple statement from the Bible, and then I will be explaining that statement, and I will be saying, this is the good news. This evening, my theme is very simple. The good news is this: God is love. Just three words. This is the good news. God is love. And the reason I want to speak on this is because I think there is an enormous amount of confusion among those who are not Christians about exactly who God is. I think actually this confusion is also there among those who are Christians, but it is definitely there among those who are not Christians. I, before I became a Christian, had all kinds of ideas about who God is, but I don't think I ever had this idea that God is love. And yet this is what the Bible teaches us. Every page in the Bible speaks about God. And on every page of the Bible, God reveals himself. God reveals his character through his works. So when you read the Bible, you read about the works of God, various activities that God did. And each of those activities were designed to reveal his heart, that he is love, that his heart is full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of kindness. This is who God is. And I think there is an enormous amount of confusion because people have this idea, if they do believe in God at all, they have this idea that God is simply a demanding God. I think this is the kind of idea I had before I became a Christian, that the only thing God does is hand out laws and demand that we obey those laws and win his approval. And I was in a religion which taught this. You must obey these rules and you will then win the approval of God. But of course, the approval of God was always one step beyond my obedience. And so I would obey and obey and obey, or I thought I obeyed and obeyed, but the approval of God was never there. I never felt God approved of me. I never felt God loved me. I never felt God liked me. I always felt he disliked me and certainly didn't love me. And then I became a Christian and I discovered God is love. I want to use an illustration this evening to try and explain what happens when we become Christians. Many of us who are watching this evening, we are Christians. And I want to explain to you what happens when a person becomes a Christian. I want to use an illustration. Imagine that a young man gets into trouble with the law. Say, for example, he gets caught with a supply of illegal drugs. And he's taken to court, and he's tried and found guilty, and put into prison for a period of time. Imagine that while he's in prison, his fellow prisoners speak about the governor, the man who runs the whole prison organization. And they all tell him how terrible this person is. He's never met the governor, but they talk about him endlessly. Oh, he's a terrible person. He's harsh. He's critical. He's cruel. He's demanding. You can never please him. He's always inventing new rules. He's always making speeches. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. He's a harsh kind of person. And you'd better keep clear of him, because if you do get into trouble, you will be in his office, young man, and you will then see what trouble is. And so for many months in prison, he goes through life with this idea that the prison governor is this terrible person. And then one day something terrible happens. He gets into trouble. He gets into a fight and he beats somebody up. And the warden comes and the warden says, you have been summoned to see the prison governor. And he's terrified. This is his first time in prison. He's only a young man. And the other person incited him into the fight. He's terrified. And he goes into the governor's office. And to his surprise, sitting behind the desk is a man who looks very kind. He's got a kindly expression on his face. The man gently, graciously speaks to him and says, come near. Here's a chair the other side of my desk. Take a seat. And it's a kind, gentle voice. And he leans across his desk and looks at the young man with pity in his eyes. And he says, what happened? You got into a fight. Tell me about it. What happened? And the young man speaks and explains what happened. And the governor shows a lot of interest. He said, tell me about you. How come you are in prison? What happened? And so the young man explains about his childhood and about how he got into drugs and how he got arrested with drugs and how he ended up in this prison. And he finds that the governor is interested and he finds compassion. He sees compassion and mercy in this man's eyes. And the man says to him, you know, because you got into this fight, there should be a penalty. There should be some kind of penalty. Perhaps your prison sentence should have been lengthened or something like that. But I tell you what, I'll deal with that. I'll deal with the authorities. And then he looks at his record and he says, you're coming up for release, aren't you? In a few weeks, you'll be released. And the young man says, yes, I'll be released. He says, well, what are you going to do when you're released? And he says, well, I don't really know. And he says, well, you do know when people leave prison, they very likely fall into crime again. Because that is the statistic. Once you're in prison once, You come out, you do a crime again, you commit a crime again, and you go back into prison. And you know, it's very likely you'll end up here again. I'll tell you what. When you are released, here's my address. Come and see me. I've got a big garden, and I'll teach you some gardening, and I'll give you a job in my garden, and we'll see how we can work together in my garden so that you can learn a skill and you can learn how to get back into life in the world and perhaps therefore not get into crime. You see what's happened? This young man had an impression of what the prison governor was like. But when he actually meets him, he meets a very kind, a very gracious, a very helpful person. And this actually is what happens when we became Christians. We had this idea of God, whose only delight was in giving out laws and demanding obedience to those laws, and who loved punishing people when they broke those laws. I think that is the idea a lot of people have of God. He is demanding and is never satisfied and is never happy and he never loves anybody, certainly never likes anybody, and he loves to punish and he loves to dish out judgment. I think that's an idea that a lot of people have of God. But then when you become a Christian, you meet God. You actually come into fellowship with God. You become his child, because that is what it means to be a Christian. It means to become a child of God. It means to come out of ignorance and out of darkness into the family of God and to become one of his children. And you begin to understand who God is. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we love reading the Bible. We can't put it down. We're addicted to the Bible. We love reading it and reading it and reading it. Because in the Bible, God reveals himself and we see his character. It's full of love and full of mercy and full of kindness. We see that his heart is brimming with love. It's overflowing with love. And he has mercy and he has grace towards everyone. And we love this picture of God, and we want to know more of him and to know more of his love. God is love. That is the good news. And that is what it says in that passage that I read earlier in the service. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. But then there's a second thing that it says in that passage. And I want to say a second thing. I've said this first thing. The good news is this, that God is love. But then there's a second thing this passage says. And it says this in verse 9. In this, the love of God was shown, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this was the love of God shown, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know how easy it is to speak those three words, I love you. That's very easy to speak. And all kinds of people say it in all kinds of circumstances to all kinds of people. And sadly, there are people who don't love when they say it. They're actually being liars. And there are sad occasions when a marriage is broken down, a relationship is broken down, and the husband is walking out of the door going to work. And because he's always said it, he says to his wife, I love you. And he walks up. But there is no love in the heart. The words are very easy to say. We can get into the habit of saying it. I love you. I have great love for you. How do we really know that a person loves us? How do we know that God loves me? I'm making this statement here. God is love. I'm making the statement that God loves us. Now, how do we know that this is true? And the Bible's answer is because he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's love gift to a lost world. It's God's gracious gift to a world in sin. It is God's powerful statement that he really does love those who are in their sin, and he really does intend the best for them. In a few months, we'll be celebrating Christmas. I have no idea what Christmas during lockdown will look like if we're still in lockdown. But as you know, in a few months, we will be celebrating Christmas. And I was actually told at the end of August, some shops will already have Christmas things in them. What is Christmas about? Well, of course, Christmas is about families, and Christmas is about giving gifts and so on. But of course, the central message of Christmas is that God in love sent his Son. Jesus Christ came because God's heart is filled with love. Jesus Christ came because God is filled with compassion and mercy. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life here on earth because God is love. And Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary because God is love. His death on the cross is the greatest statement of love the universe has ever known or will ever know. There is no greater demonstration of love than the cross where Jesus died. There is no greater statement of love than that death on the cross that Jesus suffered. There is one reason why Jesus died. It is because God loves sinners, and God wants to save sinners from their sin. And this is what Jesus was doing on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was dying in the place of sinners. He was paying a penalty that we owe to God. You and I, we both sinned. We have both broken the law of God. We're like that young man who was caught in possession of drugs. We have broken the law. And just as he had to pay a penalty for his crime, so we have to pay for our breaking of God's law. God demands a penalty. And Jesus on the cross of Calvary paid the penalty for his people. He suffered for his people, and he paid the penalty for his people. And he shed his blood that we might know forgiveness. Do you know this is the greatest gift that God gives to us, his own Son? It beggars belief. It's beyond imagination. I have two sons and a daughter. I love my children. And if somebody were to say to me, Sukesh, give up your son that he may die for me, I would never do it. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And any parent is like that. You can never give up your son. You just can't do it. We all love our children. And God the Father gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is fully God, came into this world to die for our sins, to give up his life that we might live. In this, the love of God was made known, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So Jesus on the cross dies for us. Jesus on the cross pays the penalty that we owe to God. Jesus on the cross sheds his blood that we might be cleansed, we might be forgiven, we might be brought into God's family, we might be made the children of God. This is the good news that we preach. God is love, and God in love has made a way open for anyone, and I literally mean anyone, for anyone to come to him, that they may have forgiveness, they might become the children of God and have a place guaranteed in heaven. I wonder who you are this evening as you listen to me, or perhaps you're listening a bit later on YouTube. And perhaps you have many things that you have done wrong. And perhaps you feel it's too late for me. I heard just the other day about somebody and they said, it's too late for me. And I don't know that person, but I heard this about somebody. It's too late for me. It is not too late for you. It's not too late for anybody. Because God has his arms wide open. And God issues an invitation. And God says to everyone, come to me. Come to me with your sins, and I will forgive your sins. Come to me with your sins, and I will cleanse your sins. Come to me, and I will remove your sins and your guilt, and I will bring you into my house, and I will make you my child. This is what God promises all who will come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. This is God's invitation to you this evening. Perhaps you've never been interested in religious things. Perhaps you've never given thought to these things. Or perhaps you give a lot of thought to these things. And perhaps you think about your sins. Perhaps you think about death. Perhaps you think about heaven. You should, you know. You should think about heaven. You should think about death, because these things are reality. And even if you believe, well, after death, there is nothing. Well, that's not true, you know. There is heaven and there is hell. And you should think about this. But I encourage you to think about this especially, that God is love, and God in love has sent his Son into the world, and God in love has made a way open for us to know forgiveness, to know salvation, to know freedom from sin, and to have a place in heaven guaranteed because his Son died for sinners on the cross. So this is the gospel that we preach, the good news. God is love, and God in love has opened a way for us to know him and to know salvation, the forgiveness of sins.